Mike Garcia's Hobby Game Dev Blog Post. 2019-08-04 Retro Computing to Electronics. Retro Computing to Electronics, my YouTube playlist of videos, which have been helpful, my C64 playlist, my Atari ST MIDI playlist, my Electronic Noob playlist. I recently bought a Commodore C64C, with data set, power supply, and two joysticks, and an Atari 520 STFM, with some random floppies, both untested, and rattling, exclamation, together it was all only $80, reduced from $120, in the most unlikely op shop, one of the places I check out for used DVDs. These guys wouldn't know how to use a modern PC. Well, they said I could return it, if it didn't work, so why not? Commodore C64C, I got it home, opened it up, and expected the worst. It actually wasn't that bad. This C64C has many chips socketed, and the capacitors looked good, not leaking or swollen. In fact, apart from the loose screw, it looked well maintained. So, I turned it on, and the blue screen came on, but without any text, or sometimes random text. Well, that's how I got back into Commodore 64D. The power supply with C64s are literally C64 killers. It's common for them over time to output more than the 5V required. The extra voltage will make the 5V chips overheat, and will eventually kill them, which is what happened to this one. So first thing first, I built a DIY new power supply, following these videos. https://www.youtube.com/ucdxv0x6wey Commodore 64 DIY cheap and sexy power supply PSU https://www.youtube.com/wou2zvng building a DIY C64 power supply, the lazy way, the RAM chips needed replacing, and the MOS6526CIA1 chip is on the way out, port 1 issues. Something to do later, but for now it works. The dataset tape player also worked well. I didn't have any tapes, or a tape player, at the time. I use an old Android mobile, and an app called TapDancer. It converts D64 files to audio, and it's built for this, and with a CD tape adapter, a fake tape with a headphone cable coming out of it purchased from my local auto parts store, and it all worked very well. This is the one I bought from Super Cheap Auto, Australia. Click to view original image. 856 KB. The chips are pretty expensive by themselves, in considering buying a C64C as a donor, but these are also getting expensive now. Our TV has an analog tuner, so RF works, but it's pretty bad, so that's another project, either S-Video or RCA. I'm also trying to make a DIY C64 diagnostic cartridge. To be honest, I've had retro destruction guilt. One of the things I took apart in my teens was a working C64C. I wanted to remove the boards, and failed. I put it back together again working, but I think it ended up in the trash. A Commodore 64 alternative, the C64 is still a great piece of hardware. The expansion port has direct access to the CPU. BASIC is relatively simple to program, and there is so much documentation and software available. Most of it free. The Commodore 64 was really the gaming, computing and the Raspberry Pi of the 80s. A modern alternative would be the C64 Minis, but unfortunately they don't interface with the ports. While at my local electronic store, I was suggested the Maximite computer, which is next best thing, would be any microcontroller board with http://mmbasic.com. There's different ways of using mmbasic. From Windows to many different forms of hardware, all accessible via a serial terminal. Directly via a computer setup, which includes all 20 I/O pins, called Maximite. https://www.youtube.com/mexqa8loecu The color Maximite basic computer, and microcontroller as a tangent. The Maximite's MM basic successor is the newer Micromite Plus, 64 and 100. Designed to piggyback onto touchscreen LCD screens. https://www.youtube.com/12lidxg2a Introduction to the Micromite Plus. Continuing with the Maximite, and MM Basic, next is the Minimite, which is an embedded, and compact version of the monochrome Maximite. This is not the color Maximite, but still very similar. And lastly, MM Basic runs on a single PIC32 chip, which makes it really impressive for controller. https://www.youtube.com/vim758unware. Although it's still new to me, I can see the benefits of developing in BASIC, compared to the typical compile and flashed process. There's a small community, it's not made for games or applications but would make a great learning, hobby or industrial interface. Atari 520 STFM. The Atari 520 STFM had the floppy mechanism loose. I cleaned it a bit and turned it on, and it worked! The floppy also functionally worked, but it couldn't load any of the random disk it came with. It wasn't a big deal, because most of these are being replaced with a GoTek USB replacement, and it was pretty easy to do. https://www.youtube.com/sorbr66ds0. Preparing the GoTek floppy emulator for the Atari ST on my to-do list is this GoTek mod. Eventually install the screen and rotary selector on the top of the case, with long wires to make opening easier, and move the controller, mouse, port to side, where the floppy was. https://www.youtube.com/flash/flippy/GoTek mods. I would like to upgrade the 512kb RAM to 1MB, or 4MB one day, and turn it into a MIDI beast. Two great retro computers, too little time. Getting into electronics in my pacing blog post I mentioned under Lamoth's electrical course on Udemy. I bought it mostly to show support as I really like his writing, and also wanted contact with him. I had an interest in electronics, since a young age, taking broken, or old, things apart, and putting them back together again for fun, not necessarily working though. Admittedly, I had his lectures in the background while doing other things, game dev, or web admin stuff, but now that I own these two historical microcomputers, what a better way to get serious about electronics. To be honest, I struggled with the basics, so I looked for beginner kits, and bought these two for 80 AUD delivered. While I was waiting for that to arrive, I noticed a local ad selling this one, which retails in the shops for 300 AUD, and only going for 50 AUD, so I had to get it. If you look closely, which I didn't, the 300 in one above is exactly the same, just different molding colors. Oh well. D. I recommend the simpler and cheaper 130-in-1, although it doesn't go into details what the circuits do. Obviously, electronic engineering is a 4-year bachelor degree. The setup, resistor, diode, transistors, caps, etc., is very practical as a simple and clean breadboard, and makes testing resistance, ohms, volts, watts, and currents, amps, a lot easier. My electronic cheat sheet https://www.youtube.com/khgsjzll08 An Introduction to Simple Electric Circuits, 3rd edition, Metric Table Prefix Symbol Multiplier Exponential Yotta Y1 million 1024 Gamble Purchase. C64C, and Atari ST 520 FM Sone Serial 2 Comments on Retro Computing to Electronics. Levy D. Smith. 2019-08-10-13-26+1000 Nice Finds. I haven't had much luck plugging in any of my old electronics. I recently lost my first 386 Wang PC and a Zenith VCR. I should have probably taken them apart first and blown the dust out. I really don't know how to go about fixing them. M. Garcia, 2019-08-16-12-25+1000K Levy, that's interesting old tech. Yes, definitely open and clean and then research old electronics before turning anything on. As a programmer learning electronics for the first time, I would describe it as physical maths and logic compared to screen maths and logic. But most problems seem to be capacitors malfunctioning over time, leaking, or swelling, which are simple to replace. Comments are open.